Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
The moment at Parents' Day luncheon when Linda refuses wine. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friends sent you this podcast out of a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young Royals, then come back to this podcast.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today we'll be discussing the acting of Season 1, Episode 3.
In this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode, because we already did that. If you need or want a refresher, head back 2 episodes in our feed to our most recent, This Week at Hilarishka, for a full breakdown. This episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You have been warned.
Alrighty, everybody. We're gonna go in chronological order, because that's the best way to do these.
We always say that it's gonna be all over the place, but we actually are frequently on very good behavior.
Yeah. I feel like we, again, it's a disclaimer, so we do that just in case we, like, jump ahead randomly. So my first is at 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically the opening of the episode, just the piano scene, like, I just wanted to shout out all of it. I feel like last Art of the Choice and Art of the Frame, I like held back from including a lot of woman moments because a lot of them had been covered in Revolution. But a lot of my favorite parts of this episode are the woman moments still. So I just grabbed them again.
Yeah.
I just love the tenderness of the acting in that scene. We talked about it a lot in Revolution, so we don't need to go into it too further. But I just.
But I think we should say it again. It's so soft.
Yeah. And then you're up next.
Oh boy. So this is 6:21. It's when he's walking through the like trees. I don't remember what happened right before it. Do you remember?
It is
anyways, that may not be super important. And it's just him throwing a stick. And I don't know why that's so important to me. Why that specific instance of dramatic Wilhelm is so important to me. But it really is.
Yeah.
That's really all I can say about it.
That's fair. I think mine is also part from that. Because I think throwing the stick is from what I called last episode Villa's queer panic montage.
Yeah.
And I kind of just shouted out the whole thing because I was like, everything in it is like just so intimate and real.
Oh yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, it's like, no, we're just gonna like press in on this character's psyche until you're like, oh, he's not doing. I mean, he already wasn't doing okay, but now he's doing more not okay.
Oh, this character's on the struggle bus.
Yes. Okay. And then. Our next one is definitely both of us. The gym class scene.
Gym class scene.
Trying to articulate what I like about the acting in this scene. Do you have a specific reason?
Well, all I wrote is awkward Wilhelm desperate to talk to Simon, and then in all caps, giddy Wilhelm afterwards. So
yeah,
just the way they interacted, I think, really. Which, like, this is just becoming Revolution Part 2.
A little bit.
It's okay.
I promise I have other non-Wilhelm things on this list. As mentioned last episode, we do really front-load Wilhelm in this episode, and then we get to other people's bullshit for most of the rest of it.
Yeah, it's true.
It's how the episode works. That's people watch.
It's also how our cycle works.
Well, yeah, it is. So, art imitates life. That's not the saying. Anyways,
that was really good. Thank you so much for that, Bestie.
You're welcome. No, I think it's this, talking specifically about the acting, so we're not, like, fully in the characters. It's just, like, I love how Omar and Edvin are able to, I mean, they're so, like, deliciously able to hold on to, like, the essence of these characters and, like, just follow them through their show and, like, just portray a honest conversation where it's like you're never in doubt of like what either of them are feeling, and the just kind of exchange of it, I think, is, I mean, I think that's a lot of my favorite stuff in this episode, is the way they bounce off of each other.
Yeah, they're very in tune with one another.
Yeah, like as they're finally kind of like coming together in this episode, it's like, okay, we're getting on the same page in this episode. My next bit that I wanted to shout out is it's when all the parents are arriving.
Yeah.
I have two bits from that, which I have Felice's subtle fear as she awaits the approach of her parents.
Mm-hmm.
Like I picked it up when I summarized this for this week of Lerska, but I don't really think I noticed before, like, how much just like there's so much nervous energy in her eyes.
Oh yeah, she's petrified.
Yeah. And then the way it like disappears when they actually show up, because she's like, okay, gotta hide this now and not
gotta
show how
lock it.
Not scared I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then my second thing from that is the siblings' different reaction to Linda's car.
Yeah.
Showing up early, her like van. I don't know. There's like multiple things in this that I'm gonna shout out of just like the ways in which if we wanted another little bit of dialogue exchange to further drive home the ways in which Sarah and Simon are different, like we get a couple of those in this episode.
Oh,
this is the first one I could find where it's just like Simon is just kind of, I don't know if he's like, he almost looks like impressed with his mom, where he's like, where he's like, yeah, good on you for standing out. And then Sarah is like, this is kind of embarrassing.
I think Simon's also just like amused by the situation.
I think he's definitely amused. I think giving Linda far more grace than Sarah is.
Just
being honest. And I think you have something next.
My next.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think this is gonna feature next week for me, because it's more of an art of the frame thing. But you can talk.
It is an art of the frame, but it also just made me really happy, so I put them in both.
No, yeah, fair.
So we could talk about it twice. Mm-hmm. So 3:30 when they're in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Just the like.
Did you say 3:30 or 13:30?
13. I said 3:30, but I meant 13:30. Yeah. thank you. I don't even know what I want to say about it, but just like, I don't know. It's just like pure warmness, and it's from the framing, but it's also from the acting. So I wanted to point that out here on this episode as well.
No, very, very, very fair. I mean, I think by now it's pretty evident. Like these episodes, along with our, like these episodes are like our character episodes, in that they're not really objective. these are the parts that hit for us specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it was Wilhelm Smile, part two that I am so obsessed with in the first episode. So I feel like it was my duty to bring it up now.
Oh yeah, I think it's like, it's a difficult thing trying to explain why something makes you feel feelings, which is really, I think, what the art of those challenge us to do.
Oh yeah, big time. So I just have a lot of feelings. I don't know why they're there.
Yeah. Our next thing is also the same. We wanted to have a little discussion about what I called the mother-daughter chat between Felice and her mom.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be probably a serious portion of one of Felice's character episode, but two, definitely like Love Among Royals talking about Felice. So it's like, don't want to steal too much from that, but like the acting in the scene, like I might be overstating it, and maybe not everyone felt like this after that scene, but it's like I remember that scene feeling like a revelation, where just this very, very, very short exchange, and I'm like, oh, I get it.
Get what though? Like,
oh, get Felice. I understand. Oh,
yeah,
Felice.
Yeah.
Like how we got here.
Yeah. In all of the episodes prior to this, where we talked about Felice being like, you know, she's under a lot of pressure. I get it. This is
This is what we're talking about.
This is exactly what we're talking about. This, like, I don't even know how long this scene is. Not very long. Like, it's exactly why.
Yeah, like 45 seconds. I don't even know.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. God, it's just like it's like how's Wilhelm?
Yeah, like, all right, how are things? Okay, but Wilhelm, have you made your move? And it's like,
but Wilhelm though?
But Wilhelm? How is he? How's that going?
Good vibes?
Good vibes? You think so? God, I couldn't imagine having a conversation with my mother like that. That sounds fucking awful.
I have something a little bit before the video chat.
Love that.
With Eric.
Let's have it.
Which I just called Villa the Passive Aggressive King. Because I do really want to shout out.
When I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, when August tries to get him to get a picture with him.
Yes.
And as as I described in this week, Hilarishka, he just doesn't change
his facial expression. He doesn't give a fuck. I watched that scene, I think, about 6 times for this episode because I was like, that's so funny to me. Because he doesn't change his face. And then they're talking, and he's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Yeah, because the thing is like going through everything, and you're like, yeah, it's good to see that Wilhelm is as exhausted with August as we are.
I've never felt so seen.
Exactly. And then we get into the video chat.
Yeah. I just like how it actually looks like, and this is partially Art of the Frame, mm-hmm. but I just like, first of all, how it actually looks like they're having a conversation with each other, and then we can see just the immediate body language change as soon as his brother is like, I'll see you this weekend, and it's like, about that, about that you won't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although body language is acting, I do have parts of this scene in next week's episode too, because there are certain things that like are really we talked about this scene a lot last episode. Like, it's just it's sweet when you're watching it the first time, and every time afterwards it makes you want to cry.
It's one of those scenes where you're like, oh, brotherly love, and then it's like, but if this breaks me today.
Brittany, aka Gaywatch, in her reaction to this episode, after she finishes that, it's the end of that scene, and she on mic is like, oh wow, such a good brother, and then her editing takes a clip art of a skull and like puts it fades it in over her face.
Oh, I thought you were going to say over Eric.
No, not over Eric, but like over her face. She's like, what a good brother. And she's like, Which is like, that's a frequent thing on reactions where it's like, especially if they're the kind of reactor who will like kind of point ahead to what happens by the end of the episode.
Yeah.
It's like they get to that scene, they're like, wow. Yeah, now I see what we're setting up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a big jump. So I have some stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of. I
got sidetracked while I was watching, and I forgot that I was taking notes, and then I didn't want to go back.
No, you're all good. But as mentioned last episode, I love the parents take luncheon and mm-hmm. like pretty much everything that happens in it, because it's just, I don't know, I'm a sucker really for characters finally just like getting together and like just talking and like having interactions they wouldn't normally, and it's like and like, oh no, ooh, the dynamic shifted up, ooh, cool.
Yeah,
but in terms of the specific things, when they're fixing the like the play settings at the luncheon, and like the Ericsons have to like wait outside,
mm-hmm.
All of their characterization and that's in that little bit is on point. Like Linda being like, it's fine, we're good, like it was August said it was an accident, why are you getting so mad, Simon? Mm-hmm. And then Sarah is mad at Simon for being mad.
Yep.
And Simon as mentioned is pissed, and
honestly rightfully so. That was bullshit, but
it is very rightfully so. And I'm not gonna say that he isn't justified, but I do think in this episode we kind of see Simon getting a little bit more and more progressively
irrational.
I was gonna say unhinged, but that felt mean.
Irrational is so much nicer.
He's losing, I think, a little bit of the social awareness we saw in the first few episodes as he's getting more stressed about various personal things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he beats up August.
Yeah, that is on here. Later. But, I mean, this still, shout out to the characterization. Like, it's just like all of them were exactly who I expected them to be mm-hmm. in that scene. And the next, we have my cold open. Which is another thing I didn't pick up on until this week at Alerska, when I was summarizing. But as soon as I saw it, I like paused and was like, le gasp. Which, like, one could disagree that this is isn't significant in the way I think it is, but I.
I think it's significant in the way you think it is.
Yeah, this is this show. Like, of course they do something that subtle and devastating.
It's absolutely significant in the way you think it is.
Yeah. Linda refuses wine at the luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain immediately went to, oh, you're the ex-wife of an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
And that's it. Like,
yep.
Like, it does lead me to wonder if Linda has decided to be sober.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, because it's...
I mean, like, I could see, like, maybe, like, in, like, not like, necessarily drinking, like, publicly or socially. Or, like, when she's, like, I mean, she's there for her kids, too. So it's, like...
Yeah.
I totally get that, too. But... I can also see having an ex-husband who's an alcoholic, like, kind of turning you off of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It happens all the time. Very frequently.
It happens.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. I don't, it's, this is similar, this is Mika adjacent, so I don't want to bring the energy down too much.
So we're gonna blow right past that one.
because we've managed to not really talk about him much because he's not in this episode.
Yes, so let's keep that energy going. What you got next?
August explaining his future plans.
Yeah.
It will never not be funny to me, but also, it's like, it's similar to, I mean. It generates a lot less empathy than the scene with Felice and her mom. But, like, August explaining his future plans, it's, like, more of pieces of him start coming into focus.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of the most awkward-ass moments in the entire episode, but maybe even the entire show, is I'm not his son. Between him and Ricard.
But, like, I...
One of them's awkward, the other one's offended.
Yeah, the other one feels terrible, and the other one is like,
don't disrespect me like this. Well, I don't know. I feel like I read it as like he's trying to maneuver what is always an awkward situation when someone assumes that he's August's dad.
Yeah, but August is like thoroughly offended that somebody would think that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ricard is just like, oh.
Yep.
I feel so bad for him in that scene.
I know. Next, I want to shout out Villa and Linda meeting for the first time.
Yes.
I mean, again, covered in Revolution, so we don't need to touch on it too much, but it's just like...
But we can.
Yeah. Like, it's the little, like... I mean, we've already talked about Villa asking Simon for permission to sit down, and then Simon's mom being the first person he turns to talk to after, like... Like, he greets Felice's parents by name. Like, this is polite. And then he's like, oh, person I don't know.
Yeah, he's like, I know these people. And Simon's mom?
Yeah.
I could talk to you.
And it's like, the Simon of it all has to be playing a big part in this here. But I do think it's interesting what he says to Eric in the way the lunch scene kind of refutes that. Eric's like, why you not showing up would be weird. And he's like, me being there would be weird. But it's like, he does fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably used to that kind of social interaction.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, if it were like a different situation, I feel like he'd probably feel a lot more like he's putting on a front. But like, I feel like there's very few times when he's been more genuine in public than in...
Oh, yeah.
than in that scene. And I think that's why... I think it's probably one of the reasons I really like it so much. Is that, like, it's, like, one of the only moments so far that we've gotten, like, private Wilhelm around other people.
Yeah, we, like, finally get the, like, open, not the, like, facade... And we're not seeing him alone in his bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, I don't know. The crown really does a number on him, but I just do really... I like moments when he's shown succeeding at his duties. Like, it feels... I feel very conflicted every time it happens, but it's, like, I appreciate that he isn't as terrible of a prince as he believes he is.
Oh, yeah. That's just, like, negative self-talk. He's not actually bad at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Like, I'm not really walking back what I said in the first in our first episode cycle, which is that, like, Eric is clearly better at it. But Eric seems superhumanly good at it.
Right. Like,
so... Villa's doing okay. Like, he's
getting it done.
He's being polite to everyone at the table. He's including everyone in the conversation. He's being like responding to questions as politely as he can and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah. But then I have Sarah putting her foot in her mouth because it's like, any scene that makes you feel that awkward needs to be shot out in Art of the Choice.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things you just see from a million miles away and you're like, no, 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 stop, stop, yeah, no.
But like, you can't stop it.
You can't stop it.
You can't look away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can. I frequently fast forward through that part, but.
And then next, I have Come For Me, Felice kissing
Wilhelm. I hated you when I read that in your notes. It's like, fuck you, I don't want to talk about this again.
But alongside Sarah, like, we feel so awkward about it because that scene is so well acted.
Oh, it's so well acted, but that doesn't mean I want to talk about it.
No, fair. Like, but it's like right in a row, two moments when you're like, see it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess watching some reactions, some people don't see it coming. But I think I remember I did.
Oh yeah. As soon as he said, as soon as it was like, "Do you think I'm perfect?" and he said yes, I was like, yes. No.
Yeah.
I was like, don't fuck. Oh, god damn it.
Yeah. Another manifestation of the things we've been talking about about Felice for the last two cycles.
That's true.
And the thing we were thinking of that we were gonna get to.
That's true.
This really is the episode of Felice in a lot in various ways.
It really is. We're actually gonna have a character episode for it, so just I feel yeah, really mid.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of just 17 minutes of
feeling like, really mid.
How do we feel about her? Yeah. Okay. My next thing, another quick thing that like I debated putting on here, but I was like, if there's any place to put the small details, it's these episodes. The little moment of Simon judging Linda's kindness to Felice's parents. Like, she like gives them like just a polite wave and he like glares at her.
But I don't get why, because like, does he really have a problem with Felice? I guess she was kind of rude to Sarah at one point.
Yeah.
But now they're...
No, yeah. I think we're kind of just kind of like, especially with the way that August is pissing him off so much.
That's true.
We are very much at a place that's only a few steps from where we started, which is like, Wilhelm is the only exception. Full stop.
Yeah, that's you're really right.
Like, I don't want my mom talking to freaking a kid at Hilarious's parents, like being chummy with them. He's like, no. Oh yeah, and then August v his mom. And I wrote it like that because it really feels like a cage match.
It does, yeah.
Like, my God, I don't think there's another more like brutally argued scene yet in it, like up to the show in the show up to this point. Like,
and the thing is it sounds so like if you weren't listening to the words being said, just like the tone, mm-hmm. It's so cool and collected.
Yeah. I mean, until August like kind of blows up the end.
Well, okay, he just like walks away though. He's like, I can take care of myself, and walks away.
Yeah. But like he's like pretty clearly like distressed. He's like, it's fine. I'm fine.
Yeah. But like,
no.
Compared the beginning to of it, what's definitely. Being said and how it's being said.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. But gosh, the mommy issues in this episode with August and Felice.
This show loves mommy issues.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. It's even more than August explaining his future plan. It's like, okay, we've reached like 15 sediment layers deeper into who August is as a character.
Yeah.
Which, as much as we shit on August in this show.
And we do.
I will always, I won't stand August, but I will stand the show for giving us a antagonist that we drill all the way down to.
Oh yeah, we don't stay shallow with August, which I really appreciate. We get a reason to hate him, and then we get a reason why he's the way that he is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't erase the reason why we hate him.
No, we still hate him, but we get it now.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I jump ahead a little bit, but I think I'm still not where yet. I have Simon attacking August.
Yeah.
Yeah. At specifically at 27:41, which is like the moment before he pounces.
Make him sound and, like a little cat.
I mean, Simon is very cat-like in my head.
Yeah, and Wilhelm's a dog, and I can't explain either one.
Yeah.
That's like, a PDTA crack right there. The characters as animals. Oh, hell yeah. Okay, sorry.
But you're good. I'm just thinking. Like, I kind of forgot.
August is a Scorpion. Because sorry.
I forgot that Simon just slams August's head against the ground.
He really does. It's intense.
Like, the viciousness of...
It's brutal.
Like, as stated, like, up to this point, it's like we've been having Omar show that Simon's getting a little unhinged, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're in it now.
Mm-hmm. This is full unhinged, but also just, like, fully irrational.
Yeah. Like, God. I feel like the interesting thing about this to me is always that, like, this aspect of Simon's storyline and, like, his storyline with Wilhelm just, like, always feel like two separate universes to me in a really interesting way.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I feel like I've never really sat with how much Simon can compartmentalize.
Yeah, because it's completely different than the way he is any other moment in the show so far, but also... any other moment in this episode where August is not involved, we have no, like, Simon is not like this.
Yeah. At all. But he's just found someone who really pushes every single one of his buttons.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't really think you could come up with better foils for each other than August and Simon.
No. No, you really couldn't.
Alrighty. Now I think we've... Wait, no, I have one more thing. Is at 3104, just the Erickson sibling teasing about Wilhelm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, again, you gotta really shout out the tender moments in this show.
You do, because they're, like, few and far between.
Yeah, because it's like, there are a lot of moments where everyone is just being very, is very, very hard and harsh, and you're like, you need to hold on to those moments of, like, just people being sweet to each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it really does just, like, speak to, like, just, like, the first speak further to, like, the years of built trust between Simon and Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been through it together.
Oh, yeah. Trauma bonding.
Mm-hmm.
I just threw a peace sign for everyone wondering. And I don't know the audience wondering. All right, what's your hot take about August and Felice's scene?
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm talking about it next week, so it's only fair.
Perfect. But just, I don't know. I just feel like this scene is so well portrayed.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And they're both, like, desperate makes me feel gross for this scene, but that's sort of how it is.
Yeah. I mean, this is gonna be a weird thing. I think, as mentioned before on the podcast, I'm a substitute teacher. And the other day there was an activity
where are we going
where we were doing analogies to kind of learn various vocab words. And I'm forgetting what the full analogy was, but it was like, something is to something as needs help is to desperate. And it's like, they're desperate in the way that they both need help.
Yeah.
And they're looking for that help in each other.
Yeah, they don't in a need way that each is other, just... though.
Exactly.
It would probably be better if it wasn't in each other. But
exactly.
This is where we are.
Right. It's like the third time I've said in this episode, but it's like, again, one of those things that's like, as soon as she shows up, like, you see it coming and you're like,
oh, and it's one of, it's again, it's, oh fuck, no, please, God,
it's,
oh, God,
oh fuck, no, please, no. Yeah.
And then it happens and you're like, God damn.
It's like every single one of those moments, though, just, like, hits so well because it's so well constructed, because you're just like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course, of course, of course.
Mm-hmm. And I called it a hot take because I really hate watching this scene.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel icky, but it makes me feel icky because it's
because good. Yeah. Yeah. It's like I'm kind of a fan of the kind of, I mean, it's a bit of a like overused metaphor, or like at least a bit of a cliche now, but I just like the metaphor of just like watching a train collision in progress, and you're just like,
you want to know something that I used to do sometimes with my friends from high school?
What?
There's car crash videos on YouTube, and we would sit and we would watch those for hours. Why? I have no idea. We were not okay, but we would do that for hours, and that's mildly concerning to me looking back on it.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, they weren't serious car accidents, if that helps, but I'm not sure how much that really helps my case here.
Yeah.
Anyways, young royals, huh?
Yeah. Let's see. All right. Of year, you're still next. Oh,
3355. Yeah. 3355. It's the day after Parents' Day. At least I think it's the day after. I'm assuming it's... Yeah. It's got to be the day after. And Wilhelm is going to, like, drink from his mug. And Simon walks in, and he just, like, freezes. And he just, like, clocks it immediately.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one to shout out.
And it's like he forgets what he's going to do. Like, he forgets why he picked up the mug. And then it's finally like, oh yeah, and then takes a sip. He just like clocks it immediately and like freezes. And it just cracks me up.
And then, no, we both have the same, I think we're all just gonna have the same things. It'd be going forward, because we don't have that much left of the episode. I just wanna hang out with you.
With me and my mom?
Yeah, she was cool.
Baby. It's just, it's baby activity is what it is.
Because it's like, I don't know, this time I really, like, I know I mentioned it last episode, but like, I feel like I really sat in it this time watching back of like, that moment when Simon is like, nervous and kind of already getting himself ready to just be crushed like he was at the end at the start of the episode.
So what if I came to your house and I feel like he like short circuits a little bit? He's like, oh yeah,
a little bit, like he's like, look, like yeah, like he asked like with my mom, which is just a random, such a random question. It's like he's like trying to process.
Yeah. You know how you ask the guy that you are interested in when he's like, so can I come to yours? And he's like, you want to hang out with me and my mom?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's exactly what he means, dude.
And Sarah. But like, that's... that real.
God, can you imagine if he was like, you want to hang out with me and my mom and Sarah? That'd be fucking hilarious.
At 35:34, I wrote, last moments of happiness.
You're a sick and twisted human being who loves to relish in my pain.
No, you don't look over the shoulders. You're not much better than me.
Mine was happier than yours. Yours is acknowledging what comes next.
Well, yeah. But, like, I don't know if this is just always ruined by, like, in retrospect, you always see it like this, but you're just, like... I don't know. I'm just also thinking of Gaywatch. What she did. She's like, why aren't we cutting to Simon's house? Why are we outside? Because she's smart about film and TV, and she's like, wait. We won't be showing a scene unless something happens. Why is something still happening? What?
Why aren't we happy anymore? What happened there? Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, even when it is your first time watching, proof, like, you can know something's wrong by the fact that we don't jump to Simon's house.
That was so fucking disrespectful.
And then you shouted out Boris.
Of course I shouted out Boris. I love Boris. I love how apologetic he looks when he comes to get Wilhelm. I love, yeah. I don't know. That kind of covers it, actually. He's just, like, awkward and also nervous. And it's, like, you can tell immediately the moment that Wilhelm realizes that something is
wrong. Yeah. And then we both had two very different takes for our last thing. I don't know if they're very different takes. But you wrote Christina, of course. So I didn't know what that tone was.
There wasn't really a tone there. It would be disrespectful to not put that in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
Like that would, it would be rude.
Yeah, when I was writing, when I wrote Christina's voice acting, because it's like, but I don't know. I remember like at the end of this week in Hilarishka, we discovered we have two kind of wildly different takes actually on like the way we interpret the call at the end.
I think I just hate Christina so much that like
I get that, but it's like honestly, this phone call is the only bit of grace I have for her.
Yeah, I guess.
And basically the entire show up to what I've seen, it's a slight spoiler. It's like, if there's ever a moment you wouldn't be at your best.
Yeah, like, I can't really fault her for it, but I still don't love the way she did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I see a certain level of care in not wanting the news to reach Wilhelm.
I do too, but... her. I mean, like, at least it wasn't over text, you know? That would have been unforgivable.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
But I don't know. Just the voice acting of like immediately the second you hear it is like, oh, like, oh, she's been crying.
Yeah. It's mad good.
Yeah. And I don't know. Remind, like, I know you've minced words about like your thoughts and like the way she words everything, but I'm like, I think for dramatic tension purposes, it's worded perfectly.
For dramatic purposes, yeah, but, like, for telling your youngest son that his older brother is dead pisses me off.
I think I've just watched so many reactions to the end of the episode that I'm just like, I can't just help but call it masterful cinema, because I'm just like, well, yeah.
It is, but that doesn't mean I...
Yeah, that's fair, but it's just like...
But, like, imagine if your older... You don't have an older brother, but if you did, and he had died, and that's the way your mom fucking told you? Jesus Christ.
Like, how would you want her to have worded it?
I don't know, maybe open with that. Be like, hey, buddy.
Just drop the bomb?
Yeah, you kind of got to. Otherwise, your son just knows you've been crying and doesn't know why. That's torture.
Fair, but it's like, how do you just approach that conversation?
I don't know, I've never had to do it.
I know, that's fair. Which is like, I don't know. I, as stated before, like, I can't fault her for that specifically, because I don't know what else I'd want her to do in this that position, because it's like you're approaching something that's just like, I know I'm about to change my son's life forever, and how do I go about doing that?
Yeah, I guess just like, I don't know, when I phone calls like that are something you remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
like, I still remember the moment my mom called me to tell me that my grandma had died, who's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You, like, that shit sticks with you, no matter how it's said.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. It pisses me off a little bit how she says it, but I can't, I mean, she's grieving, and it's her son, so you can't fault her too much, but it, like, how you choose to deliver has the capacity to fuck your other child up for a very long time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me being picky, though. It might be. But I just really hate her.
It feels a very realistic way of telling someone that news.
Yeah.
It's like you're picking at the details, and like necessarily dancing around the subject, but it's like you're trying to give context as if that is it, like in like a kind of a half-hearted attempt to soften the blow.
Yeah.
Or it's like maybe if he sees it coming as you're explaining, it won't hit him at, like, it won't cut as deeply. Like, I see, even though that can't be true, I see the,
I see the attempt.
Emotional think.
Yeah.
I see the emotional thinking there.
Yeah.
And especially up to this point, this is the most like a mother she's acted.
It's the only time she's acted like a mother.
Yeah.
Like, come on now.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Well, we said it last episode. Every one of these in the cycle is just going to end with...
Now yeah. We feel icky and we have to cut to the outro.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to get up to date with when we release new episodes and other Potter-related announcements, you can check out our Instagram, @PeopleDon'tTalkAbout, or our threads, also @PeopleDon'tTalkAbout. Our next episode will be Art of the Frame, talking about the cinematography of Season 1, Episode 3. So stay tuned. And with that, all that's left to say is...
Let's start a revolution, baby! I didn't think you were going to cut to outro that quickly.